the left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Okay, another hour gets going. It is Tuesday, March 25th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge as we get things going this hour on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we welcome you to the Sports Drive. It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We got lots to get to on this hour of the program and lots to dive into, but it is a Tuesday, which means it's time to check in with our NHL insider. It's time to chat with Frank Saravalli. He's brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com. And Frank joins us now from Daily Faceoff, DailyFaceoff.com, Amazon, and more. Hello, Mr. Saravalli. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Steinberg?
I am well. It's time for our weekly check-in. The Flames have won three in a row. They're back on home ice. We know what the Blues are doing. Vancouver keeps finding ways to hang around in this thing. How's Frank Saravalli feeling about the bottom of this Western Conference playoff race on March 25th?
Still bullish on the Flames. Games in hand. Control your own destiny. I mean, that's all you can really ask for. You win your games, you are in a playoff spot. And it kind of feels like with the attention that the St. Louis Blues have gotten, and rightfully so with the heater that they've been on, I think people have sort of overlooked the Flames, maybe due to lack of games played recently, so to speak, that, hey, don't, I'm telling you, I've been saying it for a while now, don't sleep on Calgary.
How impressed were you with the three games they put together to wrap up that road trip?
Was it not a franchise record? First time they've ever swept
Indeed.
All three New York teams in one
yep.
trip. That's pretty darn impressive. Look, I just love the stick-to-itiveness that this team has. You get a result. If you're Dustin Wolf during the trip that you're not happy with, he finds a way to bounce back. You struggle to score and pile pucks into the net, you find timely goals. You get a game where, you know, you're able to manhandle your opponent in the New York Rangers and keep them to seven shots through two periods, got to find a way to take the 2 points. So, look, it hasn't always been pretty. We knew that it wouldn't be. But the way that this team has played, like, they're wholly deserving to be in the mix. And where I start to get excited is I'm starting to watch the OHL playoffs that begin on Thursday night
yeah.
with Saginaw hosting the Erie Otters. And I know in speaking to you know, team sources today, the Calgary Flames are keeping a very close eye on what's happening in Saginaw because they're considering bringing in Zane Parekh to help this team in the playoff push.
Okay, so tell us more about that.
I mean, in some ways, obvious, right? I mean, Parekh is a guy that's had a 100-point season as a defenseman. He's put himself into elite category in terms of being such a dynamic offensive force. And the Flames and many other neutral observers believe that Zane Parekh is someone that can help this team right now and make an impact immediately at the NHL level.
It's fascinating because, I mean, I definitely know that that's been asked. It's a hot question in this market. The timing could work depending on how things go with Saginaw in round one. I do know that him playing in the NHL next year is something we've talked about. It's not being a guarantee, but very, very likely. So you're saying like a Cale Makar a la 2019 type situation you think is very much in the cards if the timing works?
Yeah, a little bit of a different scenario going from college right into the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yes, if the calendar lines up and if Zane Parekh is available because his season in Saginaw is finished, I believe that he'll be inserted into the Calgary Flames lineup.
I think that would be about as exciting as it possibly gets, hey?
I mean, think about what the alternative was for this season. A team with very little expectations. No one's really sure quite what to make of them. They scratch and they claw and they play themselves into this spot. And then you get one of the crown jewel pieces of this retool, rebuild, whatever R word you want to use. And here's Zane Parekh presented to you on a silver platter in a Stanley Cup playoff chase. I mean, that's, you're right. It's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. Wow. That would be as exciting a potential development that Flames fans have had in a very long time, if that were to come to pass. Okay, so let's continue on the Flames-ish front. We're talking with Frank Saravalli, our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us Tuesdays here on Flames Talk. Let me ask you about Jacob Chychrun and his extension with Washington. I'll ask you about the Flames connection in just a second, but what'd you make of the actual signing itself? It's an 8-year deal. It's $72 million. What was your reaction to that?
Honestly, not really surprised. I know that negotiations earlier this season got off to a little bit of a slow start. I think the Caps were somewhere in the high sevens in terms of an AAV. But Chychrun, you know, speaking of Parekh, like, I go back to the words that Chris Patrick, the Washington general manager, used in his release today, dynamic offensive defenseman. I mean, this is a guy that, he's had a little bumps and bruises over the course of the season, missing the last couple games with a skate cut in his wrist. But he's someone that was on track for like 25 goals for a while as a defenseman. And it's one of his stated goals to try and get to 30, which I don't think has been done since Mike Green, if I'm not mistaken, with the Washington Capitals previously. So he's a supremely talented offensive defenseman, and I think when you look at the contract, the increasing cap, the way he takes care of himself as a top 1% Nathan McKinnon like freak in terms of what he's willing to put into his body. I mean, the joke going around the Caps the last couple of days is that he doesn't even want light bulbs in his house anymore moving forward, which is hysterical to even think about in 2025. But he's very careful, pays attention to everything, and that's a guy that at 26 is going to age well over 8 years, and by the way, is sort of your ready-made defenseman to pass the torch from John Carlson right to Chychrun once Carlson's contract expires.
So what would this mean for Rasmus Anderson and a contract extension there? Like, obviously, a ton of eyes on Anderson and his future with the team. Knowing the contract that Jacob Chychrun just signed, how could that be used as a potential comparable for the Anderson camp?
I'm not sure the answer to that, to be honest. Because I view Anderson as a stylistically different player. I think he's way more well-rounded. I think with Chychrun, sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. Like, the offense is so good that you have to live with some of the turnovers. When I look at Anderson, he doesn't have the same offensive ability or gift. And that said, he's a way better defender, and way more fierce defender that I think, you know, it's interesting to consider the defense market as a whole. I'm not sidestepping the question, but I think it's way more of an interesting floor setter for Evan Bouchard coming off of an 82-point season. Now, not necessarily directly apples to apples, because Bouchard is an RFA and has one additional year before he can walk to free agency, and Chychrun was a pending UFA. So there is that 1 year in between that sort of skews the numbers a little bit. But when I look at Anderson's game, I just think from a money perspective, I see Rasmus Anderson much closer to the Morgan Riley contract than I do this new one from Jacob Chychrun, although obviously signed under different parameters with regards to the cap.
What, and I asked you this a number of weeks ago, but like, what does the,
how does that hit you? Does that sound outlandish?
Not necessarily. What is the Morgan Riley contract?
7 times 7.5, I think.
Yeah, I mean that does not sound super outlandish. You know, I don't know where like the Anderson camp would be, honestly, in terms of their projections, what they're looking for. I don't know.
Could I see it inching closer to 8? Maybe, but I definitely don't think he's touching 9, at least how I see it.
And then it begs the question, like, is that best for the Flames long term, or is potentially moving on and seeking a trade the best way to go? And, you know, Raz has had his ups and downs this year, and I think there's some real compelling conversations to be had on both sides of it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, I think until you can map out for me the future of the Calgary Flames blue line, like in certain detail with, hey, you know, these are the 6 guys we're rolling with for the next 5 years, I tend to lean towards them really needing Rasmus Anderson. And I think that's the position that they've backed themselves into in a way that it may not be pretty, but they may have to do it and then figure out whatever comes of that after the fact and deal with it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously nothing's going to get decided upon until the summertime at this rate. It's going to be a really interesting conversation behind closed doors in terms of what that future looks like for Rasmus here as a member of the Calgary Flames. It's Frank Saravalli. He's our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us on Tuesdays here on Flames Talk. Okay. Let's go to Vancouver. What is our status report? What do we know about the injury futures of both Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander? They pulled one out against New Jersey Monday night without those two guys in the lineup, and they won't have them for the rest of the road trip. But do we know anything beyond that?
We don't yet. And by the way, pretty gutty win, all things considered.
For sure.
You know, you think back to their loss against the Rangers the other night and how deflating that must have been, then to literally add injury to insult. Full marks to the Canucks for hanging in. I mean, this season has gone sideways in so many different ways. And for Thatcher Demko to get back in for the first time since February 8th, it's quite a story that was written, but there's obviously still a long way to go to get to the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, look, I think Vancouver's got their work cut out for them. It'd be an interesting question to answer given the injury situations in both Pacific markets right now. Who's the more unlikely number one center at this juncture of the season? Is it Pew Suter in Vancouver, or is it Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
Yeah.
Edmonton.
Yeah. Where are we on Edmonton's two big guns? Where are we on the injury statuses of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? Do we know anything there?
They're taking a really patient approach, as would be expected. I mean, I don't care if they're out 3 days, 3 weeks, 5 games, whatever it takes for those two guys in particular who have lapped the competition in playoff production and frankly are among the all-time greats in points per game in the postseason. Nothing matters more, not seeding, not anything, than those guys being at as close to 100% as possible. So they've gone through the process, gotten the imaging. I don't think they're terribly alarmed. They know that McDavid is also a quick healer, but they want to make sure that they really take their time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, and I think you can understand that. And even a little extra rest probably isn't bad for how deep the Oilers are hoping to go this year in the playoffs. So you can get that. You know, people in Calgary wondering if either of them will be available Saturday for that final battle of Alberta. It feels like, you know, unlikely that either guy is in the lineup this weekend, hey?
It feels like a stretch, yes.
Okay.
I would say likely next week at the earliest.
Okay. We spoke last week. You had just finished up at GM's meetings, and, you know, you had written the article, and you and I had discussed kind of the, hey, everybody feels a whole lot more confident in the idea and the criteria of what constitutes goalie interference or not goalie interference when it comes to a coach's challenge and to a video review. And then Monday night we have controversy as Patrick Waugh and the New York Islanders feel like they should have scored a go-ahead goal, Kyle Palmieri scoring it, and it ends up being deemed goaltender interference, and Patrick Waugh was very critical of it after the game. It's funny that it comes less than a week after the discussions at GM's meetings and how it felt like, you know, maybe there was a little bit more clarity there. So and you were there and you were in the presentation. You saw some of the criteria. So I guess give us your perspective on the no goal from Monday and what you understand in terms of, you know, how that meshes up with the more clarity that you had coming out of those meetings.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could retweet the story that I wrote every time there's a goalie interference challenge. And it's not for the click. Like, I could care less about the click. It's really just so because I've outlined for everyone a checklist, a guideline that the NHL situation room themselves works through to produce the end result. And once I saw immediately the goal waved off on the ice, you could pretty much set your watch to it. It's 99 out of 100 that if the goal is called no goal and waved off by the referee who's 5 feet away, they're not overturning it in the situation room. And so I think that's a really important fact to remember. It doesn't happen all that often, and we'd be having a different conversation if it was ruled a goal and then the situation room reviewed it automatically, which is what they would do, given that it was within the final 2 minutes of play.
Yep.
That said, there's other sort of no-brainer checklist items that come with this. Was the goalie in the blue paint or not? In Elvis Merzlikin's case, yes, he was. Was he bumped by an opposing player? Yes. Was that deemed to be deliberate by the official? The answer is yes. And when you check some of those boxes, you know, it's like putting inputs into a formula. It spits out a result. And when you go through the written story, which I did tweet today, if you're curious to see, it's kind of, I don't necessarily agree with it. And you might not. And obviously Patrick Waugh doesn't. But it doesn't really matter what I think. It's what the league is planning to do and call and what's their method or methodology to get there. And that's really all that I can inform people is the general managers agreed with 52 out of 54 times they reviewed tape last week at the GM meetings that the compass of the NHL situation room is heading in the right direction. They didn't dispute any of it. And with that, them being the stewards of the game, that's how the situation room is going to continue to look at it. So that checklist or guideline, so to speak, is going to be more or less evergreen until it changes.
So would it be your understanding then, Frank, that, you know, had that one been presented last week, that like the, would the general managers have looked at that, compared it to what they understood, and said, yeah, they made the right call on that goal with the Islanders and Blue Jackets?
I do, because it comes back to one of the first things that we talked about, which is it was ruled on the ice, no goal.
Right.
It's not often that a referee waves off a goal. And when he does that, being 5 feet away, he has clear conviction of something that he saw with his own eyes that would render that to be deliberate contact. And when that happens, it's really, really difficult to overturn it. You need clear and conclusive evidence in that. I don't know that there was enough there to overturn it, so I would think that they would agree.
Last one for you on this conversation and our chat this week, Frank, and that is on a guy that we have spoken about before. And I just wanted to ask you, because the NCAA tournament begins this weekend. The Flames made a college free agent signing on Monday, going and getting a goaltender, Owen Say, out of the University of Notre Dame. But, you know, Calgary kid Carter King is maybe the hottest undrafted college free agent that could be out there, and he's going to lead Denver into their first round matchup against Providence College. Just any idea or any power rankings in terms of where the Calgary kid might end up deciding to go?
Not yet. Obviously, everyone kind of keeps that close to their vest because technically he's still an NCAA student athlete and those types of conversations aren't necessarily permissible. But I do know that obviously, the Flames are keeping a close eye on him, being a Calgary kid, and he's likely to make a decision very soon after the Denver season ends, no matter how far they go, whether it's the regionals this weekend or getting to the Frozen Four. Expectations are high. This is a defensive forward of the year. This is a two-time national championship, a team captain at Denver, and he's someone that is certainly on the Calgary Flames radar.
Okay. Great stuff, as always, my friend. We will reconvene again next week on Tuesday, but thanks for doing this. Great stuff, as always, and have yourself a wonderful rest of the week, my friend.
You too, Pat. Take care, buddy.
He is Frank Saravalli. He is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider, and he joins us every Tuesday on Flames Talk. He joins us brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour two of the program rolls on this Tuesday. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And, you know, Frank Saravalli kicked us off this hour on the program and lots in Flames land buzzing about Jacob Chychrun's latest deal. And for good reason, because I think it has a lot of people wondering what Rasmus Anderson's next deal could look like. Jacob Chychrun, by the way, signed an 8-year contract extension with Washington. He kind of just fell into their laps in the offseason and is having a great first year as a member of the Capitals. But it has a lot of people wondering, with that deal, $9 million a season, 8-year contract extension, $72 million total. You know, could that affect what Rasmus Anderson's next deal ends up looking like? Now, Rasmus is 29 in October. Chychrun is 26 right now, but he turns 27 in about a week. So it's about an 18-month offset. Rasmus about 18 months older than Jacob Chychrun. But how much does that deal, in your mind, potentially help set Rasmus Anderson's market as he's eligible to start contract negotiations on July 1st?
Well, and you asked Frank Saravalli in the previous segment about this, and his answer was that he wasn't sure how much it would impact the negotiations that will occur this summer on the Rasmus Anderson contract. And Frank's point was that he just doesn't think stylistically there's much of a comparison between Chychrun and Rasmus Anderson. And while I agree with that, I do think the dollar figure is pertinent. And I don't say that as a way of saying that I expect Rasmus Anderson to now ask for 9 times 8, which is what Jacob Chychrun will be earning in Washington. But if he considers himself a guy who either slots in similarly or slightly below Chychrun, then why wouldn't you use this latest signed contract as a comparable? I did a little bit of research on this, and I just want to throw some numbers around that I think will illustrate why it's maybe more of a comparable than people think. I'm going to start with career points per game. Mm-hmm. Jacob Chychrun, we all, like, our first blush is always, well, Chychrun's a better offensive player. And career points per game would back that up. Chychrun's at 0.486. Rasmus Anderson's at 0.433. That's
close.
Not
yeah.
a massive difference. If you go and look at career highs offensively, and that's a number that we know agents and representatives love to look at. Well, Jacob Chychrun right now is at 43 points. That's a new career high. Puts him on pace to finish this season with, what, 52, 53? Well, Rasmus Anderson's career high is 50. That's another pretty direct comparable to what was supposed to be the part that they weren't going to match up on, right?
Right.
Now, Rasmus Anderson's not on pace for 50 this season, and I don't know, especially the way he's utilized by this Flames team, that he'll sniff 50 at any point again. But when the agent sits down with the numbers, you better believe that's one that they're going to trot out. And then the other one, and I looked at this over two spans, but just to compare the ice time. So if you look at the last five seasons, Anderson has averaged 23.16. It's 22.24 for Chychrun. So not too
ice
far
time's
off
very
there.
Similar, yep.
If you look in the last 3 years, which is a more telling stat for the Anderson camp, he averages exactly 24 minutes a night over the last three seasons. Jacob Chychrun is two full minutes below that. Now, Chychrun's bounced around a little more in his career. I'm just looking now. He's averaging 21 minutes a night, so actually a little down from his career average in Washington. But those are numbers that, to me, illustrate that this is not as awkward of a comparable as some people want to make it out to be. And then you get to the next part, which is the sort of pickle it might leave the Flames in. I mean, even if Rasmus Anderson's willing to take a little bit less than Chychrun, does that mean 8x8? And knowing that, unlike Chychrun, who will be 27 when his contract kicks in, Rasmus Anderson will be 30 when his takes effect.
Like, he'll be in the final year of his deal at 29.
Right, and that's the big difference here. But when you start to look at some of those numbers, I think you can make a case that, of course, Rasmus Anderson's agent, Claude Lemieux, is going to be looking at this Chychrun contract and thinking, yeah, this probably bodes pretty well for us.
I wonder if, like, could I see Raz getting 8, 8.5 on a deal somewhere? Yeah, probably. The more I've thought about it, is it on an 8-year deal, though? I don't know. I'm not, because of the age, because mm-hmm. you're signing the guy at the age of 30. The more I've thought about it, the more I've thought, like, whether you're the Flames or whether a team going after him in unrestricted free agency, we rarely see the full max term of 7 given away in free agency. So if Raz wants 8.5 or $9 million, maybe he can get it. But I don't know if it's going to be on the max term of 8 years
yeah.
with the Calgary Flames. And maybe it's on, like, could he get 4x9? Yeah, I'm sure that would be something the Flames would be interested in doing. But 8x9, I'm not sure. At his age, like, there are some players that the longer you go, the higher the AAV goes. And there are some guys on their age when they're having contract negotiations, the longer you go, the less your AAV is. So, yeah, I'm actually really, because when you think about it, like, you're committing to keeping a guy until he's 37, 38 years old. you know, it's tough to commit the same type of money you would if you were only keeping him, like, per season, if you were only keeping him for 4 or 5 years. And that has nothing to do even with the specific player that Rasmus is. It's more just a general conversation about it.
Yeah, the reality, I think, with Rasmus Anderson's age, and as we said, he'll be 30 when his new deal kicks in, or will be turning 30 in October of the season that his new contract kicks in. This is his home run deal, right? Rasmus Anderson's not looking at it and saying, well, if I take a 5-year deal, then when I turn 35, I'll be able to make more money, right? As a young guy, you say, okay, well, yeah, sign me for 4 or 5 years because that's going to walk me into my prime. And that's not the case for Rasmus Anderson. And so I think he is a guy who will be looking at term as a priority. I think he should be. And yet, it's, as I said, it puts the Calgary Flames in a bit of a pickle, in the sense of you've got a guy who will be 30 as the deal's starting,
yep,
who plays a really abrasive style, who has some tough miles. You know, he has some tough miles on him already, and certainly as that contract ages out, is going to have played a lot of tough minutes. And I don't say any of this, you know, anyone who listens regularly knows I think very highly of what Rasmus Anderson brings to the Flames, and I think he would be extremely difficult to replace. I always end that with this, I suppose, caveat, and that's up to a dollar value. You have to know what dollar value you're comfortable with. And when I look at how well I do think the Chychrun contract can be used as a comparable by Anderson's camp, I'd love to know, you know, what number is on Craig Conroy's whiteboard as a dollar value they're comfortable with there.
How, you know, Frank Saravalli brought up Zane Parekh's name a little earlier, and the conversation about, you know, could that be a guy the Flames even get into NHL action for a, you know, cameo before the end of this regular season or before this year is done. And whether the timing works out for that to be a possibility or not, we don't know. But I do think it is very safe to say, in fact, everything that I understand is that for next season, Flames want to give him every opportunity to make this team. And I think based on what he's done, based on what little there is left to accomplish in the Ontario League for him, going back to Saginaw doesn't make a ton of sense. And the CHL-NHL agreement prohibits him as a 19-year-old next year, in his 19-year-old season, prohibits him from playing in the American League. So as we talked about, I think Parekh's a very good chance Parekh's here for a good chunk of next year. And Hunter Brustevich is going to be a guy that, you know, I think a lot of people will be hoping pushes for playing time in the NHL next season. Henry Muse maybe a little further away, but I think the Flames hope that at some point he pushes for NHL playing time in the not-so-distant future. There's three right-shot D-men that all of a sudden are in this conversation down the road. How does that impact Calgary's desire to, and I'm not saying that all three of those guys are going to make up the right side of Calgary's defense. No, because that, it doesn't work that way. But with Uyghur here, with Parekh coming, and with two other guys who have right shots that could be on this team down the road, does that keep Calgary's cap on Anderson's number and term? Does it keep it lower than it might be otherwise? I think it's a very fascinating conversation. And, and boy, my tune on this has changed. And I've readily admitted this on postgame a number of times, but my tune on this has changed dramatically over the course of the season, because, you know, this has not been a banner year for Raz. And I think he'd be the first to say that after a really good start where we were loud in Rasmus Anderson's game through October into November, but since that time, his level has dropped, and it's been a struggle for a lot of the stretch of this season based on the high level of play we've come to know from him. Like, the defensive game has not been dialed in. He really struggled struggled when Ball wasn't in the lineup. He and Ball have their level as a pairing has even dropped to the point that, you know, I think we all look at Uyghur and Hanley as this team's top pairing potentially right now in terms of how well they're playing. Regardless, it's hard for me to say right now that, yeah, I'd be committing 8 years at X amount of dollars to Rasmus Anderson. I think I'd need to know, you know, what the conversations end up being like. And I think that's why the Flames need to see where the Anderson camp is, when you're actually allowed to start negotiating, and see what the interest is like out there on the open market for him in his final season, and really make an educated decision from there, and, you know, really start to see where your threshold is for which way you're gonna lean. And I'm a big Rasmus Anderson fan. That's a drafted and developed player, and I think keeping those players long term, it's important. But because he signed a 6-year deal out of entry level, it puts it in a situation that we don't often see.
It's an awkward age.
It
to
is
be
a really awkward age.
An
yeah.
Extension. Yeah. And one of the things going back to last season that I give Craig Conroy so much credit for is there were guys that he did not want to see leave town, starting with Elias Lindholm. And you can look at what has transpired in Boston and certainly think, whoo, they might have dodged a bullet there. But I look at Elias Lindholm as a really strong example of Craig Conroy setting a number and then sticking to it, or at least not being willing to go very far above it, right? Same thing. How many times, buddy, and I know we texted about it a lot last year, how many times did we collectively hear that a Noah Hanifin deal was pretty close to the finish line, and yet it never got done? Well, at some point, the Calgary Flames weren't willing to budge more on the number, and that combined with some extended waffling from Hanifin is the reason that there was no deal to get done there. And so Craig Conroy is on record a ton of times saying, yeah, I see Rasmus Anderson as a Flame. The challenge now for Craig Conroy, because you've got those guys coming, yeah. Would you don't want Rasmus Anderson blocking one of those guys, and yet for the next few years you'd sure love to have him insulating them. But what number are you comfortable with? I bet when Craig Conroy saw the Chychrun contract today, he probably muttered under his breath, because it has the potential to increase what I thought Rasmus Anderson could ask for.
Yep. Curious to see
is
how that plays itself.
Is that a fair way to put it?
Yep,
yeah.
I think that's fair. Absolutely, I do. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg here in the Hot Stove Lounge as we start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.